وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Then came the time when the angel said, O Mary, behold, Allah has chosen you and made you pure and exalted you above all the women in the world.
يا مريم اقنتي لربك واسجدي واركعي مع الراكعين.
O Mary, remain devout to your Lord and prostrate yourself in worship and bow with those who bow before him.
ذلك من أنباء الغيب نوحيه إليك وما كنت لديهم إذ يلقون أقلامهم أيهم يكفل مريم وما كنت لديهم إذ يختصمون.
O Muhammad, peace be upon him, we reveal to you this account from a realm which lies beyond the reach of your perception, for you were not with them when they drew lots with their pens about who should be Mary's guardian, and you were not with them when they disputed about it. About who should be Mary's guardian. They drew lots to decide who should be the guardian of Mary, whose mother had consecrated her to the service of God in the temple. Since she was a girl, it was a delicate matter as to who from among the priests of the temple would be the appropriate person to take care of her.
إِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكِ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنْهُ اسْمُهُ الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ وجيها في الدنيا والآخرة ومن المقربين.
And when the angel said, O Mary, Allah gives you the glad tidings of a command from him. His name shall be Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary. Jesus, peace be upon him. He shall be highly honored in this world and in the next, and shall be one of those near stationed to Allah.
وَيُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا وَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ.
And he shall speak to men in the cradle and also later when he grows to maturity and shall indeed be among the righteous.
قَالَتْ رَبِّ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي وَلَدٌ وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ قَالَ كَذَلِكِ اللَّهُ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ.
She said, O my Lord, how shall I have a son when no man has ever touched me? The angel answered, Thus shall it be. Allah creates whatever He wills. When He decides something, He merely says, Be, and it is. The angel answered, Thus shall it be. Thus it was affirmed that a child would be born to Mary despite the fact that no man had touched her. The angel's answer mentioned here, Thus shall it be, was exactly the same as the response given to Zechariah. Both the following sentences and the preceding section support the view that the angel had conveyed to Mary the glad tidings that a son would be born to her without normal sexual contact, and it was thus that Jesus was born. Peace be upon him. For if Mary's child was to be born to her in the usual manner in which children are born to women, and if the birth of Jesus did take place in the normal way, the entire narrative from verse 35 of this surah to verse 63 would have to be declared absurd. Indeed, one would be forced to treat as meaningless all those statements about the birth of Jesus which are found scattered elsewhere in the Quran. The Christians had begun to regard Jesus as God, peace be upon him, and the Son of God because of this fatherless birth. The Jews, in turn, cast aspersions on Mary's chastity on the grounds that she had given birth to a child despite being unmarried. If the fatherless birth of Jesus was itself false, it would have been sufficient to tell the Christians that they were indulging in sheer misstatement. that Mary had indeed been married, that she had a legitimate husband, that it was a result of that wedlock that Jesus, peace be upon him, was born. If this fact could have been stated plainly, there would have been no need for long preparatory statements and complicated propositions, and no need to call Jesus the son of Mary, peace be upon him, instead of naming his father. For far from resolving the issue, such statements add to the confusion. Those who believe the Quran to be the word or command from God, and yet try to prove that the birth of Jesus took place in the normal manner as a result of union between his father and mother, end up by proving only that God is less capable of clear expression than they are.
وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ.
And he will teach him the book, the wisdom, the Torah, the gospel.
وَرَسُولًا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنِّي قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِآيَةٍ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ أَنِّي أَخْلُقُ لَكُمْ مِنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرِ فَأَنْفُخُ فِيهِ فَيَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَأُبَرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَمَا تَدَّخِرُونَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ.
And he will be a messenger to the children of Israel. And when he came to them, he said, I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. I will make for you from clay the likeness of a bird, and then I will breathe into it, and by the leave of Allah, it will become a bird. I will also heal the blind and the leper, and by the leave of Allah, bring the dead to life. I will also inform you of what things you eat and what you treasure up in your houses. Surely, this is a sign for you if you are true believers. Surely, this is a sign for you if you are true believers. It is hinted here that these signs are sufficient proof that Jesus was designated by God, the Creator and Sovereign of the universe, provided people are prepared to accept the truth instead of obstinately clinging to their prejudiced views.
وَمُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَلِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَجِئْتُكُمْ بِآيَةٍ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ.
And I have come to confirm the truth of whatever there still remains of the Torah, and to make lawful to you some of the things which you had forbidden to you. I have come to you with a sign from your Lord, so have fear of Allah and obey me. Of whatever there still remains of the Torah. This is further proof that Jesus, peace be upon him, had been entrusted with a mission by God. Had he not been designated by God, but by an impostor, he would surely have attempted to found an independent religion, exploiting his miracles to lead people away from their original faith. However, Jesus believed in and confirmed the validity of the teachings of the original religion which had been preached at God's behest by the earlier prophets. The fact that Jesus, peace be upon him, preached the same religion as that expounded earlier by Moses, peace be upon him, and the other prophets is also born out of the statements of the existing Gospels. According to Matthew, in his Sermon on the Mount, the Messiah categorically declared, "Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Matthew 5:17. And when a Jewish lawyer inquired, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus, peace be upon him, replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends the law and the prophets." He also instructed his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on the Moses seat, peace be upon him. So practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do, for they preach but do not practice." Some of the things which had been forbidden to you. What Jesus wanted to impress upon them was that he would abolish the prohibitive innovations which had infiltrated the original divine law, Sharia. These were the results of the superstitions of their ignorant commoners, the legal hair-splitting of their lawyers, the extremism of their world-renouncing pietists, and the ascendancy and predominance of non-Muslim peoples over them. In determining what is lawful and unlawful, Jesus would be guided by the injunctions of God and not by the inventions of human beings.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ.
Surely Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so serve Him alone. This is the straight way. This is the straight way. This shows that, as with the other prophets, the fundamental points of Jesus' mission, peace be upon him, were the following. 1. Man should acknowledge the exclusive sovereignty of God, which demands absolute service and obedience to him and him alone. This principle serves as the basis for the entire structure of human morality and social behavior. 2. Man should obey the prophets, since they are representatives of the true sovereign. 3. The law, which should regulate man's conduct by elaborating what is right and what is wrong, should be none other than the law of God. The laws devised by others should be abrogated. There is thus no difference between the missions of Jesus, Moses, and Muhammad, peace be upon them all. Those who think that the missions of the prophets differ from one another, and who believe that their objectives vary, have fallen into serious error. Whoever is sent by the Lord of the universe to his creatures can have no other purpose than to dissuade God's subjects from disobeying him and assuming an attitude of vanity and disregard towards him, and to admonish them against associating anyone with God in his divinity, that is, either holding anyone to be a partner with the Lord of the universe in his sovereignty, or recognizing others besides God as having a rightful claim on a part of man's loyalty, devotion, and worship, and to invite them all to be loyal to and to serve, obey, and worship God alone. It is unfortunate that the Gospels in their present form do not offer as clear a picture of the mission of Jesus as that presented by the Quran. Nevertheless, we find scattered throughout the Gospels all the three fundamentals mentioned above. The notion that man ought to submit himself totally to God is embodied in the following statement: "You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." Matthew 4:10. In addition, Jesus, peace be upon him, believed that the object of his efforts was that God's commands relating to the moral realm should be obeyed in this world in the sphere of human conduct, just as his commands about the operation of the physical universe are obeyed in the heavens. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." The fact that Jesus, peace be upon him, presented himself as a prophet and a representative of the kingdom of heaven, and that in this capacity he asked people to follow him, is born out of several statements. When, for instance, he began his mission in Nazareth, and when his own kith, kin, and compatriots turned against him, he remarked, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country." Matthew 13:57. See also Luke 4:24 and Mark 6:4. And when conspiracies were hatched in Jerusalem to put an end to his life, and people counseled him to go away, he replied, "Nevertheless, I must go on my way, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem." Luke 13:33. When Jesus, peace be upon him, entered Jerusalem for the last time, the disciples cried with a loud voice, "Blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Luke 19:38. This angered the Pharisees, who asked Jesus, peace be upon him, to rebuke his disciples. But he replied, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." On another occasion, he said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11:28-30. The fact that he invited people to obey the laws of God rather than the laws made by man is evident from his response found in both Matthew and Mark to the objection raised by the Pharisees to the conduct of their disciples who ate with defiled hands, that is, without washing. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses, peace be upon him, said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who speaks evil of his father or mother, let him surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or mother what you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition which you hand on." Mark 7:6-13, see also Matthew 15:2-9.
فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ عِيسَى مِنْهُمُ الْكُفْرَ قَالَ مَنْ أَنْصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ نَحْنُ أَنْصَارُ اللَّهِ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَاشْهَدْ بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ.
And when Jesus, peace be upon him, perceived their leaning towards unbelief, he asked, "Who will be my helpers in the way of Allah?" The disciples said, "We are the helpers of Allah. We believe in Allah, and be our witness that we have submitted ourselves exclusively to Allah." The disciples said, "The word Hawari means approximately the same as the word Ansar in the Islamic tradition. In the Bible, the usual terms are apostles and disciples. Jesus, peace be upon him, chosen disciples were called apostles in the sense that they had been entrusted with a mission by him rather than in the sense of having been entrusted with a mission by God. We are the helpers of Allah. We believe in Allah. At various places, the Quran characterizes man's participation in the effort to establish the supremacy of Islam as helping God. This needs a little explanation. God has endowed man with the freedom of will and choice, with the result that he does not resort to his omnipotent will to compel man either to do certain things or to refrain from others. He rather leaves man free to adopt the course that pleases him, be it that of either belief or unbelief, of either obedience or disobedience. God prefers to instruct man by means of persuasive argument and admonition, so as to bring home to him that even though he is free to disbelieve, disobey, and defy the will of God, his own interest and well-being lie in serving and obeying his Creator. Hence, directing people to the right path by persuasion and admonition is of concern to God. He regards those who contribute to this cause as his allies and helpers. This is, in fact, the most exalted position attainable by man. When a man performs prayers, keeps his fast, and worships God in other ways, he is merely on the level of service and subjection to God. But when a man strives to spread God's true religion and to enthrone it in actual life, he is honored with the status of God's ally and helper, which is the zenith of man's spiritual growth.
رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا بِمَا أَنزَلْتَ وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ.
Our Lord, we believe in the commandment you have revealed, and we obey the messenger. Make us then one of those who bear witness to the truth.
وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ.
Then they schemed against the Messiah, and Allah countered their schemes by schemes of His own. Allah is the best of schemers.